Hello and welcome to another exciting, sparking edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and you?
Prince Harry.
Prince Harry's back and he's in the news. He can't seem to stay away from it, can he? Does that mean that this sort of half an hour normal podcast will turn into an 8-hour marathon?
An 8-hour, in which we blame everyone else for everything and say nothing is our fault. I'll tell you what, so this is obviously revolves around that. This is extraordinary. Interview he gave to the BBC last Friday, sulking like a little spoilt brat who didn't get his way. I lost the court case, therefore I'm going to lash out at everyone and everything.
Yes.
Not my fault, I'm the victim. Oh, shut up, you little prick. Really? Anyway, the point is, I went to the pub on Friday night with my wife and my dog.
Yeah. You got to take the dog, obviously.
We have to go. We have to go out with a dog everywhere. We can't leave him anymore. Yeah. He's an integral part of our social life.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get back from the pub, you know, I spilled a bottle of wine, you know, thing, and I said, oh, let's have a look at that Harry interview.
Yeah.
So we found it and watched the whole thing with an increasing sense of astonishment.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking hell. This guy's fucked in the head. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I must confess, I haven't found the time
have
to watch
it. Have a look at it, mate.
I mean to, I will do. Because I presume it's on BBC iPlayer.
Yes, it is.
But what...
It's 30 minutes of bile, bitterness, victimhood, the level of the paranoia. Yeah. I mean, it is literally insane. He's got serious psychiatric problems.
He clearly does. Well, he's obviously been on the ganja for too long, for a start. and whether he's still doing it anymore, I don't know. It's not illegal.
I think he does.
There's no point in me pretending that you know, I'm not going to have to apologise for that. He's perfectly welcome to smoke as much ganja as he wants. But it does tend to have an effect on people, and it can make you a bit paranoid. And it certainly seems to me that he was only about two shades away from saying that he believes, I think he does believe his mother was killed. I think he does believe all the conspiracy theories about Princess Diana being done away with. When he came out with all this stuff about an establishment stitch-up, you know, it's very clear, as I was watching one of Piers Morgan's panel shows the other night, he had somebody on who said that these pair are emotional terrorists, which I thought was a great description.
Really good.
And then she said, he's this far away, and I'm showing about an inch of air, from saying... The royal family want to have me killed.
Well,
that's what it sounds like.
Wait a minute, mate. As I say, you've got to watch the fucking interview because he actually does say that. Mm. He says, I mean, not those precise words. He says, so there's this thing called RAVIC.
Right.
That is the committee that is full of coppers, senior coppers, politicians, a couple of members of the royal household, courtiers. And they organise security for the royal family.
And they decide who gets...
They're the ones who decide who gets armed police protection. And the only people who do it are the King, Camilla, William and Kate. Yeah. No one else does.
Right.
Harry used to. That's why he's so pissed off.
Right.
Now, he says that basically that his father has colluded with this committee on whom he has two... royal household members, to remove his protection. He said, his actual quote was, to make me unsafe.
Yeah.
And he then goes on to say, they want me dead.
Yeah.
They want me dead.
Unbelievable.
It's just bizarre. And also, I think there are two things about Harry that emerge from this interview. You know, one... is he's got psychiatric problems. He really needs help.
Right.
And two, he's fucking astronomically thick.
Yeah.
He's so fucking thick.
Yeah.
So amid this sort of... this kind of fusillade of allegations, ludicrous, fantastical allegations, they want me dead and my dad done all this shit.
And he's convinced himself that his dad doesn't talk to him because of this security thing, which is bollocks,
Of course it's bollocks. But what he reveals is he just doesn't understand how anything works. So he's making all these allegations.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how RAVIC works. He doesn't know how the country works. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand the relationship between the royals and the government.
Yeah.
He, like Americans, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, Americans do tend to misunderstand how this country is governed. It isn't governed by the king.
Yeah.
You know, how many times when we were living there, said, look, I've got to explain to you, we're not actually ruled by the king. He's a figurehead.
Yes.
We are ruled by our government, our democratically elected government. Harry,
sadly,
Harry, yeah, bring back the fucking king.
Yeah.
Harry thinks his dad rules the country.
Right.
Harry thinks his dad, and he says this, can go to the Prime Minister or the fucking Home Secretary, yeah, Yvette Cooper, and say, overrule this decision,
yeah,
give my son the armed protection he deserves.
Right.
Harry, he can't do that. Yeah. He's not empowered to
do
that.
But he's also, rather bizarrely, asked for it to be done the other way around as well. So he's asked Keir Starmer to intervene.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he's also asked Yvette Cooper to intervene, yeah, in addition to getting them to sort of say to his dad, can you sort this out? I mean, it's all over the place.
He thinks his dad can go to Keir Starmer and Yvette Cooper and say, Ravek have made this decision,
yeah,
about Harry not getting armed protection. There have been three court cases which have all decided, yeah, quite rightly, that he doesn't deserve armed protection.
Yeah.
Prime Minister and Home Secretary, can you overturn that, please? I'm the king.
Yeah.
Do what I tell you.
Yes.
That's how fucking Harry thinks it works.
He's also gone to the Prime Minister and the Home Secretary to try and see what they can do in the absence of his dad doing anything. So, you know, you can't play both
sides.
Seems to think he can.
Either way, it reveals he has no idea how the country runs.
I know.
Thick as a fucking plank.
Yeah, as a fridge door, as they say. And he's clearly never had to live in the real world. I mean, this is a guy who, by thinking that he can talk to ordinary people and do great work and sort of, you know, go around the world, you know, spreading love and peace and all that shit, he doesn't actually know anything about the real world.
No.
He's never been in it. You know, the closest he's got is fighting in Afghanistan, and everybody always says you should give him a lot of credit for that, and, you know, I'm not going to take that away from him.
I will give him credit for that.
But I always wonder whether his account of what he did there is exactly as it was, because I'm not sure.
I can tell you a story.
Yeah.
I went to school with a guy who went into the Air Force. What did Prince Andrew serve in? Was it the...
he was in the Navy.
The Navy.
Because a friend of mine actually passed out at Dartmouth in the same year as he did.
Right, so... friend of mine,
yeah,
yeah, that's right, he was a friend of mine, signed up for the Navy,
yeah,
and he ended up in the Falklands with Prince Andrew.
With Andrew, yeah.
Andrew flying a helicopter, yeah, and my mate was a navigator,
yeah,
so he's in the back.
Right.
And if you remember...
In the same helicopter?
Yeah,
yeah.
He was Prince Andrew's navigator.
Okay.
Now, all the stories in the paper were that Prince Andrew into the fierce, right, you know, the heart of the battle, facing death every day. So I said, hey, Clive, so you must have faced some pretty serious, dangerous situations while you were in the helicopter with Prince Andrew. Get the fuck off. He said we spent the entire Falklands War flying from a ship to a warehouse,
right,
just taking supplies.
Yeah.
Now, this may be unfair to Harry, but just like with Prince Andrew, I just do not believe that they don't take steps to protect these royals.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that isn't to take away from
him. It's not to take away from him, because he still did his service, and it's more than we've done, so, you know, we shouldn't
respect
him for that. However, and he was still in a dangerous place. I mean, like, when I went to Bosnia to cover the war, it was the last fucking place I wanted to be. I didn't want to be particularly, you know, heroic. But you can still be, you know, injured or killed, even if you're just in the area. Even if Harry wasn't necessarily flying into and killing Taliban fighters, you know, he was in a position where he could have been killed.
And remember this, he did two tours in Afghanistan. The first one on the ground, you know, with rifles and that, right in the
in
face.
Camp Bastion.
And then when he wanted to go back, they said, we're not going to risk your life again.
Yeah.
So they did a deal and he became a helicopter pilot,
yeah,
which they deemed to be less... risky to
right.
him. So fair play to him for that. But since then, he's turned into an ocean-going cunt.
He has. And that's what all of his friends say. You know, we had old Ben Goldsmith the other day talking about, you know, how it's unforgivable how he has behaved towards his family, towards his friends. I think most of the people that knew him in Afghanistan in that particular time of his life have become really disappointed. They're not really friends with him anymore.
She's
done what all narcissists do in relationships, is they take whoever their partner is, and remove every single fucking connection they've got to anyone. So he's got no connection to his family anymore, he's got no connection to his friends anymore, everyone thinks he's a cunt. She has basically done that to him.
She's the Black Widow spider, she's destroyed him.
She's destroyed him from the inside.
You know, this,
and he one day will see that.
And when you watch the full interview, you will see a man clearly with tremendous psychiatric problems.
Yeah.
The level of the paranoia is just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's just jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
But also, a man in despair.
Yeah.
He is so sad.
And he's lost now, isn't he?
He's lost, he's sad, and I know what is at the bottom of his despair is he knows deep down he's ruined his own fucking life.
Yeah.
He's been lured away from the life he was born to, lured away from his family, by a woman who has destroyed him. There's no doubt about it. You know, we've just had the fantastic VE Day celebrations here in London.
Yeah.
That balcony scene.
Yeah.
Harry should have been there.
I thought exactly that when I watched it, because I was busy that sort of, when the flypast was happening, I couldn't see it. When I got home, I watched all of it and I watched it for the rest of the afternoon. And what a magnificent expose of Britain it was, you know. It's what we do, the pageantry, the royal family, the kids, you know, William and Kate's
we're
kids.
Best in the
and
world.
I thought exactly what you just said, that the person who should have been standing there, with either with or without his fucking wife, was Harry.
Because
he's the one who's even really got the most connection to the armed forces.
He's the biggest military hero of the royal family.
Of that particular
selection. And the point about the...
And he must look at that, right? Say he looks at that from afar. All he sees there are people that don't like him. That's what he sees.
Exactly right. And that those celebrations, which as we speak are still going on, actually, 4 days of celebrating victory in Europe, that's when you realise, because a lot of people say, that the royal family are more than just decorative.
Yeah.
Day like that, or these celebrations, they become the focal point of a nation, you know, remembering its glorious past. So they have a very serious function. And Harry must have looked at that and must have thought, I should fucking well be there.
Yeah.
And he fucking well should have been.
Because as nice and as lovely as I'm sure his home is in California, and how we know, you know better than me, how lovely it is to live in California.
Yeah, it is nice where he lives.
It's a fantastic place to live, and particularly where he is beautiful. And he's got all the money in the world, he's got nothing to worry about. But I imagine there are parts of him, and there are times when he sits there and goes, yeah, but I'm not in the fucking royal family. I'm not doing what I could have been doing, which is literally, you know, shooting up to Sandringham, shooting up to Balmoral, you know, going
taking
on,
part in the kind of ceremonies.
In those kinds of ceremonies, travelling abroad, you know, with all of the fanfare that entails, all of those things, which he probably really misses, I would imagine.
I mean, he's an extremely annoying little spoilt brat.
Yes.
Let's not forget the reason he did this interview, because he was throwing his toys out of the pram because he lost.
He couldn't believe he lost.
I mean, we should have fucking believed it, because it was the third time he tried. By the way, he said in this interview, he goes, "Well, nobody told me that I was doomed to lose this case." Well, actually, Harry, I'll tell you who fucking told you. It was the last judge.
Yeah.
The last judge. So it goes to that. It goes to first to the High Court.
Yeah.
Then it goes to the appeal court, right?
So then
he appealed again.
Yeah.
Now, the first appeal, so the second case, as it were, at the end of it, the judge said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, you know, Prince Harry and your lawyers, let me give you a word of advice. It really did go like, he said, drop this case.
Yeah.
He said, drop this case. You have no chance of ever winning
it. And that was the last one around.
Yeah, and so what did Harry do? Oh, I'm going to sue again. Yeah. I'm going to appeal again. So
he's every lawyer's dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the lawyers just go, I think we've got a chance, Harry.
Exactly, you know? Right. Yeah, fooling his money and all that. So he said in this BBC interview, nobody told me I was doomed to lose. Yes, they fucking did.
Yeah.
The last judge told you.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
But he hears what he wants to hear, doesn't he?
He's a fully signed up conscript to Meghan's conception that the truth is your truth.
Yes.
You just invent what you want the truth to be, and then that becomes
the
truth.
His rather laughable claim that he was a public servant literally from the day he was born. You know, he's claiming that, you know, he served his country for 35 years, you know, which practically means that, you know, he counts from when he was an infant.
Yeah.
And here I am, sort of, you know.
Still talking about service.
Yeah.
You fucking gave up your service, Ginger Nuts. You really fucking did.
Mm.
And as I say, that poignant moment as the red arrows came over and the entire royal family gathered. What was he doing? I bet he was on the fucking beach smoking a fucking joint
Or sitting in some kind of fucking thought pod, you know, in the back of his fucking garden with you know, sort of, you know, with fucking, you know, some of that, what do they call that, therapy that you get. Hydrotherapy coming through the window or some shit.
Eating his wife's fucking jam. I mean,
anyone in their right fucking mind who is British would want to be in London watching that. He would have wanted to be on that balcony. I don't know how it's all going to end. I don't think it's going to end well.
Well, I think it's going to end
well. I actually worry that you know, he's not very stable.
I think he's got psychiatric problems, as I say. You know, I've got a lot of contempt for him. I share the nation's disdain for him.
Yeah.
Watching that interview, a new emotion crept in. I started to feel sorry for him. I said, this poor little fucker, he's lost.
He's
devastated. He's in despair.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The week before, she gives a fucking interview saying, I've never been happier in my life.
He doesn't look very happy, does he?
He's very, very sad.
Every time you see the two of them together, he just looks morose.
He's not enjoying it. His only way out of it is he's going to leave her.
But she'll fuck him. She'll take everything. She'll literally take everything.
She'll take the fucking house.
She'll take the money. And she'll forever call herself the Duchess of Sussex, no matter whether
he's HRH.
There or not. Yeah, whether he's fucking there or not.
Mind you, when William gets in, when William ascends to the throne, maybe earlier than that, he's not only going to take HRH off them, he's going to take the Duke and Duchess.
Yeah, I bet. Well, he should. He shouldn't have that.
I hope he does.
I mean, fortunately, there's still one man in Britain who's even more fucking unlikable than Prince Harry, and that is, of course, Sir Keith Starling, you know, as he's known. What a fucking absolute nightmare. With everything that he now does, he just makes everything worse. There is not one thing that he's done right. And everything he does is wrong, and it gets worse by the fucking day.
What a cunt, though. So he fucking, you know, what we witnessed just before last weekend, the reform revolution, it was an enormous political earthquake.
Of course.
Sending a clear message to any politician with half a brain that what this country wants, what the people of this country wants, is a big lurch to the right.
Yeah.
No more of this woke shit. Close our fucking borders and get rid of this net zero claptrap, right? Keir Starmer says, yes, I've listened, I get it.
Yeah.
We've got to go further and faster.
I know.
So he wants to do more fucking net zero. Yeah. He wants to let more migrants in and so on and so forth. He's fucking hopeless.
I know.
Fucking hopeless.
He is so bad. Because not only that, it's not so much the things that he does that are bad. It's worse than that. It's the way that he kind of thinks that they're good. You know, I mean, most people would sit where he sits and go, fuck me, this isn't going very well. We better do something to try and fucking...
Exactly!
You know, he's announced today, this is on Thursday, Wednesday, he's going to make it illegal now to deface the statue of Churchill. He's going to make it illegal to climb on it. He's going to make it illegal for people to piss on it. He's going to make it illegal for... Now, guess what? It's already fucking illegal to do that, right?
Yeah, it is!
But he's doing this because he thinks, oh, I know, the people that vote Reform are really patriotic. If I make it a proper law that you can't deface the Churchill statue, I'll get all the votes back. What a fucking stupid cunt.
Now, I never put too much store by all this talk that Nigel Farage will be our next Prime Minister until last Friday.
Yeah, well, I actually did. I mean,
I knew he would make a great advance, but when I saw the results last Friday and Thursday night, obviously, this guy really is in business.
What they've done is, because again, I said this before the election last July, you know, when he was getting written off once again by all the fucking pundits in the mainstream media, they're all going, yeah, well, the thing is, he's never won an MP seat. He got beaten by Dolphin in Essex. You know, he's only ever been elected under proportional representation. And they were poo-pooing the fact that he would get in. And as it got closer and the polls started to show he was coming up, they went, oh, well, maybe he'll win his seat, but nobody else will. Yeah. And then suddenly they get five fucking seats. Yeah. And they didn't know how big that was. And ever since then, Farage has gone around the country building the groundswell of support, building a grassroots campaign. You know, regardless of what Ben Habib or Rupert Lowe say, I think it was proven on Thursday, none of that matters.
Nobody
gives a shit. Yeah,
That was a little local difficulty, the Rupert Lowe. And
they may well be that Nigel Farage treated them both badly. I don't know. That's what they say. But, you know, this whole kind of, you know, Nigel Farage...
All parties suffer this kind of problem. Right. There's always going to be the odd scandal, the odd eruption. The point is, and a lot of people on the right are very fond of Rupert Lowe, and I think there is a lot to commend Rupert Lowe, but the point is, That was a falling out between him and Farage. Yeah. It was a little local difficulty. Yeah. It doesn't affect the project, as the electorate proved.
And there were people who were saying, again, before the voting, well, of course, if you can't run a party with five MPs in it, how is he going to run the country? A reasonably valid question, but it's not that he didn't run five MPs. One of them decided that he didn't fancy it anymore, and he's gone independent. Simple as that. He's now got a fifth MP back, because he's now got this this woman MP from Runcorn who won the by-election, who's brilliant, by the way, and I think she's
on your show, isn't she?
Sarah Probyn. She literally is going to transform everything about reform, because what she's got is she's got likability. She's an ordinary woman. She's a full-time magistrate. That was her job before she became a, you know, political pundit and a councillor. And she will fucking absolutely.
Well, those guys, those people in Reform, the Reform MPs, and Andrea Jenkins as well. The thing is, one of the real skills that so few politicians have, but Nigel Farage has always had in spades, is he speaks human.
Yeah.
He speaks the language of the people. He understands people. Yeah. He knows how to talk to them. So does Andrea Jenkins. So does Sarah, the new girl.
Yeah.
And so do the other guys. So Lee Anderson, of course. Yeah. Richard Tice. They all know how to talk to people. They know how to relate to people. Keir Starmer hasn't got a fucking clue. And
then there was anybody in his cabinet.
And what they're trying to, what the political establishment are trying to do. The Tories and Labour is act like this isn't really a problem.
No,
you know they're willfully not receiving the message. So Starmer is fucked.
Right,
he's utterly.
Well,
fucked.
Even Labour are now starting to say that. You know, lots and lots of people, whether it's David Blunkett, whether it's Tony Blair, whether it's the woman who's running Wales at the moment, Morgan, whether it's some individual
Morgan in Wales,
it's some individual MPs who are all saying, you know, you need to get out of the way here. Even Diane Abbott's been critical of him because, you know, he's not doing what everyone thought he would do, which was to have a sort of a Labour. He has no agenda other than his own kind of survival.
Well, what they need...
What the fuck's he doing?
What they need a kind of Blairite centrist leader, as Tony Blair proved last week when he said, this Green's shit, that's doomed, and it'll lose
the election. And he also said... Because I remember Blunkett said, told this story, I think, when he was Education Secretary, he ran in very excitedly to Tony Blair and said, oh, we've come up with a great plan, we're going to put VAT on private schools. And Blair just went, no, you're fucking not, because we're not about having glass wall with people who are perceived to be better off. Yeah. That's not what we're doing. We want them to vote for us.
Yeah,
was where he was clever.
Exactly right. Yeah, Blair understood people as well. Blair could connect with people.
Yeah.
And Keir Starmer's a robot, and so he has no idea about ordinary people. And did you see that, you remember the convicted criminal, the fraudster, Louise Hague, briefly Transport Secretary? She wrote a piece in the Times this week saying, the way to react to reform success is for us to put up taxes.
I mean,
brilliant.
The level of
fucking sort of, useless, you
know, intellectual political philosophy that went into that. This is why they're all jumped up trade unionists, jumped up councillors, jumped up sort of public sector.
Crazed workers. Idea monks. Yeah. That's their problem.
But they've never known anything except the public sector. They've never known anything other than, you know, working as teachers or working in
hospitals. Well, most of them are just politicians. Yeah. That's all they've ever been.
Yeah.
That's all they've ever been.
Well, don't forget the fake solicitor.
But
was never a solicitor,
but they refuse to confront what happened last week.
Yeah.
They're refusing. Because they just don't want to accept the truth. And what the country is demanding is a major lurch to the right.
Yeah.
We want to get back to common sense Britain. No more of this woke diversity claptrap. Yeah. Close our fucking borders and cancel net zero. Yeah.
But the chief of those is immigration, and they've always, again, got that wrong, because they've never remembered that the reason people have had enough with the two main parties is because they're sick to death of being fucking told second-class citizens are us. Because, let's face it, we now know that there's a load of houses that are going to be acquired by the government via Serco and a few other places, right?
Yeah.
They're going to acquire all these houses to house 30 to 40 to 50,000 people.
Yeah.
They're all going to be living in neighbourhoods up and down the country, which are going to change irrevocably, because they're going to change these houses into multiple occupancy units. You know, then we've got the story that tells us that migrants can now get superior access in the NHS. which is a thing that...
Well, they're already they get houses before us.
They
now,
get houses before us, but they also get access on the NHS before us. Yeah. I've had loads of people calling in this week saying, I was sitting in the A&E and this guy came in who was Albanian, had an interpreter with him, went straight to the front of the queue. Because illegal migrants are allowed to do that in the same way that homeless people are, junkies are, you know, all of this faux socialist madness that we're surrounded by.
I'm hearing Tories today saying, you know, this new deal, trade deal we've done with India.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's not a bad trade deal, apart from the trade-off is we're going to have to let Indian workers come and work here and they don't have to pay national insurance.
But it's worse than that, though, because it's not just on the face of it. You know, the people who defend it say it's only because it's reciprocal, like America. You know, like when you lived in America, you pay tax in America, you don't pay here. Yeah. We get that. But the point is that you're working in a foreign country. You're not working here. They're saying they work in a foreign country, so they don't have to pay anything in the country they're working in. Well, that's ridiculous, because they're paying tax in the country they're working in, so they can quite happily pay national insurance as well.
Yeah, but I absolutely agree.
Right?
But what I think is the real problem with this deal is that a lot of Tories are going, well, we have to accept this is a very good trade deal, etc., etc. It's the sheer numbers.
Yeah.
We're already letting in a million fucking legal migrants every year. This has got the potential to add to that 500,000.
Yeah.
We might get 500,000 Indian workers coming to this country.
Yeah.
I mean, this fucking country is full. Stop this shit.
I know. And this is what I'm saying, that they could have negotiated it in a better way and said to the Indians, you pay your national insurance in our country, and then you don't have to pay it back in India, and that's fine.
The Tories turned the deal down.
Yeah, because the Indians...
Because of the NI.
The Indians have basically said this is the greatest deal of all time.
Yeah.
They can't believe their fucking luck because they've been dealing with the fake solicitor and that fucking idiot Lammy, you know. So, of course, they run rings around them, right?
Yeah.
And what's the betting that many of these companies that are going to be setting up in Britain don't even exist yet? They're being invented even as we speak. They'll be opening fucking shop fronts all over the place and they'll suddenly go, oh yeah, well, our parent company's Indian, and they'll bring fucking thousands upon thousands of people in, because guess what else they can do? They can vote here.
That's another part. I mean, but this is massive influx coming. Kemi Badenoch, to be fair, I think she was either business secretary
she
or
was,
minister, that she turned this deal down. One of the few good things she's done in her career.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, are the Tories pissed off with her.
I know.
I mean,
I think she's long for this world.
Let's try and sum up her deficiencies. How can we describe it? I know. She's absolutely fucking useless.
I mean, the trouble is, right, she has had no impact whatsoever, because the Tories as a party, I think, are finished.
Yeah.
I really don't see them coming back.
I don't know if you saw that
graphic that came out shortly after the results on Friday, where if you'd extrapolated, I know it's complicated because you might say Labour will have many more votes in places like London and Manchester and the sort of the metropolitan areas, and that's true. But on current situations, right, Reform would end up with something like 430 MPs. The Tories would only have seven. Seven. Fucking MPs under that matrix, right? The Labour government, I think, the Labour government currently now would be down sort of somewhere around about, you know, slightly less than 100. But Reform would basically take almost all the seats.
Uh-huh.
You know, two-thirds of the seats.
And I think it's, you know, so I think Farage, you know, the big question is, will the Tories and Reform do a deal?
I don't think so.
I don't think Farage is going to. He doesn't need it.
I mean, in fact, he said to us when he spoke to me on Friday morning, he said, actually, we'd have done better if it wasn't for some of the Tories splitting the vote. So it wasn't that the Reform were splitting Tory votes. It was the other way round.
I think the Tories,
and what do they stand for?
Yeah, exactly,
you know,
right. Yeah.
Even if they give it to Robert Jenrick now, and he does a sort of, you know, quick two-step to the right and says, right, we're going to crack down on immigration. Everybody just says, yeah, but hang on, you were immigration minister.
Yeah.
Yeah, you resigned because you said you didn't like what they were doing, but you were in the fucking government.
Yeah,
and you didn't do anything.
And think about it. Basically, the question to the Tories, or if it's Robert Jenrick or Kemi Badenoch, is, are you going to cancel net zero or not?
Right.
You know, and are you going to leave the ECHR or not?
Yeah.
They won't cancel net zero. They won't leave the ECHR, so they can go and fuck themselves.
And they're not really, at the end of the day, any different from a sort of centre
The uni
centre-left, centre-right, take your pick, it's the same fucking...
Two cheeks
of the same back side.
I don't see how they feel that they can combat reform when reform is saying, we'll cancel this net zero shit that's costing you the highest energy bills in the entire world, five times more expensive than America. We'll just get rid of it. Also, we're going to leave that ACHR and we're going to fucking close the borders. There won't be any more migrants. So that's what reforms say. And people go, yeah, we love that. We love that. That's why they all voted for them. So you get the Tories and say, well, that's a good offer from the reform guys. Is there, what are you going to do? Oh, we're not going to leave the
ECHR. We'll do something similar, but we'll water it down.
We're still going to go for net zero, but we're not going to do it quite so harshly. Right. Fuck off.
Did you see that?
Fuck off, fucking losers.
What's his fucking name? The MP who used to be in the cabinet, Kit Malthouse, right? Did you see what he came out with the other day? He put a fucking petition together in Parliament with a few other fucking, you know, wet Tories.
Yeah.
For the recognition of Palestine
as
a country.
Fuck off.
I mean, what the fuck is going
fucking on? You know, why are reform doing so well? Why are so many people voting for them? Why are we experiencing this political earthquake? It's for this reason. You know, you can call them reform, but what they really are is what the Conservatives used to be.
And what they should be.
So the reform are what the Conservatives should be until that fuckwit Cameron and that idiot Theresa May, and frankly left-wing lunatic Boris Johnson fucked him up.
Well,
the
all
arse.
This talk of him coming back is bullshit, right? Because every single reform voter says he's had the same thing. We used to love Boris, but he fucking let us down. He fucked us on immigration, fucked us on net zero. Yeah. Fuck off.
See, people go, oh, Partygate, and he was shambolic and he's a liar. You know, Partygate...
Nobody cares about Partygate, but they do care about the immigration.
I think a lot of people don't like the Partygate thing because it really was infuriating that we were all locked in our houses and they were having parties. But it's not...
Yeah, but it's not going to make...
It's not the point. It's
not
going to
make you not vote.
The reason that I've always said Boris Johnson... I like him personally. He's a likeable...
He's a character.
Entertaining charmer.
Yeah.
But as a politician, I fucking hate him because he's a fucking green fanatic.
He is.
Loves like net zero. Seriously into Stonewall and LGBTQ horse shit.
And that one comes from Kerry.
And as you say, Metropolitan couldn't give a damn about the migrant crisis. Yeah. Those three factors. Don't let that fucker back. He should never have been a Tory.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, he's a Lib Dem, but probably more suited to the right wing of the Labour Party.
Yeah.
He's not a Tory.
No, I know. Absolutely fucking ridiculous state of affairs. Well, we're pretty much done. I mean,
we've been around the houses, there.
Yes, we have been around the houses.
Been a big week.
There's nothing else that we need to add, I don't think. There's no particular great news stories.
I just quickly tell you, I went to Birmingham to see...
And you said there was no rubbish.
Aston Villa beat
Fulham. Apart from Fulham.
That was well worth
Fulham
it.
Fulham was the only rubbish you saw. Yeah.
Rubbish. The only rubbish I saw, it's absolutely true, brilliantly put. The only rubbish I saw in Birmingham was fucking Fulham.
Yeah.
I didn't see any piles of rubbish, no fucking rats.
No giant rats.
And it didn't stink.
How disappointing.
Yes, it was.
Fucking, I mean, I've been to Birmingham since before the strike happened and it was pretty fucking
I had a drink with some Aston Villa fans afterwards. I said to you know where they're talking about like your city is like kind of covered in rubbish and it stinks and it's full of rats. And they go, I said, how do you tell the difference?
It's very true. With apologies to our mates in Birmingham.
Yeah,
anyway, listen, don't do anything fucking stupid. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, fuck off.